If you would this morning to open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, we're going to Acts chapter 15 this morning. Before we open in our message this morning, about 2 weeks ago I had a meeting with one of the trustees from the International Mission Board. And as you know, through your tithes and offerings, we support missions all around the world. And we have a couple folks that are right from our area that are serving in missions. We have Joe and Elizabeth Blandenberger. They're from Ogletown Baptist Church. They've been in the Philippines for several years. I get their newsletters. I post them out here. I hope you'll take a chance to look at them. They'll be back in the area in August of next year. And so they're planning to come in and visiting us at the church here to share with you folks what God is doing with them in the Philippines. Also, we have another young man just from Ogletown Baptist Church that is leaving for the mission field, and he's leaving today. And his name is James Edinger. I remember him as a little tot there at Ogletown. And he's leaving today for Kenya. And he's going to be going over there. He'll be over there for about 3.5 years before he comes back. Him and I have conversed over the phone a couple of different times in emails. And he sent me some of his prayer cards here. And I put them down here today. I would encourage you, if you want to be involved in missions, certainly in our tithes and offerings. But I just gave you two names of two families right here from our area that I would appreciate if you would put them on your prayer list. That you would pray for Joe and Elizabeth and their family, and that you would pray for this young man who's stepping out by faith and going to Kenya, Africa, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. Pick up one of these cards, put them on your prayer list, and remember them in prayer if you would. It's an opportunity for us to be in missions, not only with these shoeboxes, folks, but in many different ways. God is opening up avenues to spread his gospel all around the world. And we need to be part of that. And this is how you can be part of that. If you would now, we'll go ahead and look at Acts chapter 15. And I want us to look at verse 36 and following. We read these words. It says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Palatia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Chapter 16. "And then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, a son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Father, we pray this morning that you would open that up to us and help us to see what you would have us to learn today. We'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled today's message, "God is Still in Control." I don't know about you, but to me, the Bible is a fascinating book. It's the most fascinating book anybody can ever read. But wouldn't you think that God would leave out the bad and questionable things that took place with his servants? I mean, you would think that God would just report to us the positive events and to reveal his power and his saving grace. But we serve a God who tells the whole story. The whole story. With all the great victories as well as the defeats. Think about a few of them with me. Think about King David. Here was a young man who had a great relationship with the Lord as a young boy out there watching over his father's sheep, and God used him in a miraculous way to deliver the armies of Israel from Goliath, and he made him king. And the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, but the story didn't stop there, because David committed adultery and committed murder. Or we think about Solomon. Solomon took the reins after David went home to be with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Solomon, in his prayer to the Lord, did not ask for riches. He didn't ask for victory over his enemies. He simply asked God for wisdom. And God gave him the wisdom greater than any man on the face of the earth other than Jesus himself, and blessed him with all types of riches. But Solomon turned to idols to please his many wives. What about Jonah, a prophet, who decided to run away from God? And running away from God, he winds up in the middle of the sea, and God provides a great fish to swallow him and preserve him for 3 days in the belly of the great fish, and gave his prophet a second chance. And Jonah had the opportunity to preach the greatest revival recorded in history. Thousands of people in the city got saved. But yet God's prophet goes up on the hillside and he looks and watches what God is doing. And the Bible says he became angry. I knew you would do it, God. I knew you would save that city. And Peter. How about Peter? One of the most outspoken apostle of the Lord. Who denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times. 3 times in one night he said, I don't know who he is. 3 times in one night. Why in the world would God record all of those things? And in our passage today, Paul and Barnabas could not settle their differences. They have an argument. They can't settle their differences, and the mission team is split up. For the Apostle Paul, the church in Antioch was not a parking lot. It was, I put it down here, Mike, it was his launching pad. He could never settle down to a comfortable ministry anywhere as long as he knew there were doors of opportunity opened for preaching the gospel. And in our text today, Paul and Barnabas saw the need for a second missionary journey, a second trip. There are several new elements in the second journey here that indicated God was still at work in spite of the obstacles and in spite of this personal differences that these two great men had. What I want us to see today through this, some lessons to learn, but I want us to understand this, that no matter what, God is still in control. He's still in control. If you look at verses 36 through 39, we won't read them again, but we see that there's a second trip planned. Paul saw the need to return to the churches that had been established on their first journey, and he simply wanted to go and see how they were doing. Paul and Barnabas wanted to see what kind of spiritual progress the children of God were making in these cities, and certainly have the opportunity to evangelize new converts. They also wanted to share with them the decision that had come out of the Jerusalem Council that would encourage the Gentiles. And their goal was to encourage and to strengthen the church. Now the men, Paul and Barnabas, they agreed on the importance of the trip, but they could not agree on the composition of the team. They realized the trip had to be made, but they couldn't agree about the team that would go. Dr. Wiersbe says, here are two dedicated men who had just helped bring unity to the church, and yet they could not settle their own disagreements. Disturbing and painful as those conflicts are, they are often found in a church. Yet God is able to overrule them and accomplish his purpose. Now there's a problem between Paul and Barnabas, the two first missionaries, a problem there. But we'll see though, even though there is a problem between these two men, God is still going to accomplish his purpose in spreading the gospel. Now if you look at Paul, you look at verse 37 there, the Bible says Paul was determined not to take him, to take John Mark with him. Now, Paul here is focusing on a past mistake. He doesn't want Mark to go. You know, Mark was with them in the first beginning of the first missionary journey. Very quickly after they were there, he quit the team. He went back to Jerusalem. And to Paul, when he looked at John Mark, he saw weakness, a sign of weakness. And to Paul, the ministry was too important. To Paul, the work was too demanding to enlist somebody who might prove unreliable. And so he didn't want to take John Mark with him. He focused on what had happened in the past in John Mark's life. I often thought, did Paul ever give some consideration as to why this young man went home? Have you ever thought about that? Why did John Mark decide to go home? Why did he go home so quickly? Now, we know that at the time of the first missionary journey in Acts 13, this is some 3 years later, John was thought to be around 17 years of age, maybe 16. This was probably the very first time he was away from home. The comforts of home were certainly missing on that journey. He could have been homesick. I don't know about the first time you were ever away from home. I didn't have a choice. The Marine Corps wouldn't let me go home. But I can tell you this. That mess hall sure didn't have mom's meals in it. I can tell you that, you know. Maybe he was homesick. I don't know. Maybe, remember, he was a Jew. And who were Paul and Barnabas witnessing to? They were witnessing to Gentiles. All his life he'd been taught that the Gentiles were people that you weren't supposed to associate with. Think about the persecution that they were facing and the long hours of the ministry on missions. When I think about this, you know, in Acts 13, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13 about John Mark. It says here that he went along with them as their assistant. Every time I think about that, I think of John Mark, you know. Okay, we're having a revival service. You know, get the chair set up. There's this young man, you know, setting up the chairs like for a Billy Graham crusade, you know. How long did it take him? How much labor did it take him? Maybe it was just too much for him, the long hours. I don't know. There's another theory that's out there that says, you know, when you look at what happens in the Bible, usually the person in charge, their name is mentioned first. And if you read the account in Acts 13, you'll see that Barnabas' name is mentioned first and then Saul or Paul, which indicates Barnabas was in charge. By the time you get a few verses down, you find that Paul's name is mentioned first and then Barnabas. So it's evident that Paul now is the leader of the group, not Barnabas. Now remember, Barnabas was John Mark's uncle. They were relatives. Could that have upset him? We don't really know why he left, but Paul was focusing on a past mistake. Whereas Barnabas looked at a young man wanting a second chance. Barnabas was looking at a young man that wanted a second chance. Now, you know, we were not told exactly why Barnabas insisted that John Mark go. Maybe I can make a few suggestions or assumptions here. Remember, John Mark went where? He went back to Jerusalem. Where is he now? Antioch. So that means he's left home and he's come back to meet Paul and Barnabas in Antioch. You know, he probably went home and did some soul searching, determined God's will in his life, but he makes the trip back. And the fact that he makes the trip back to me shows a sign of a willingness to serve. Give me another chance. Let me go with you. And so we know that Barnabas was the kind of man who eagerly tried to help others, and that's why the church gave him the name of Son of Encouragement. But it seems as though Barnabas wasn't looking at a past mistake, but he saw in this young man maybe a quality, something in this young man that he felt that he could develop under his leadership. And so Barnabas was ready to give John Mark an opportunity to serve the Lord, to prove himself. And so one man looked at a past mistake, and another man looked at the possibility of helping a young man grow closer in his commitment to the Lord. It is very sad that in this passage of Scripture, this is a terrible thing that the two great men of God couldn't agree and they split. And we focus a lot on that division there, and John Mark gets blamed for the division all the time. And of course, that was the discussion there. But just let me take a moment to say this, that I've heard it say said time and time again that John Mark was a quitter. Paul just didn't want to take him because he was a quitter. Don't believe that, folks. Don't believe that. You know, John Mark was led to the Lord, they believe, by the Apostle Peter. We know by the Apostle Peter, we know that he grew up in a godly home. We know that it was at his mother's house, Mary, where Peter went after he was delivered from prison. They were praying there. We know that he was part of the first missionary journey. And we do know that, yes, he departed that first journey. And so it was the topic of the argument here. But when you think of his life and you look at his life, understand this, and we're going to see this a little bit later, but I wanted to bring it out now, that later on in his life, guess who was with the Apostle Paul when Paul wrote the book of Colossians? John Mark. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy asked Timothy to bring John Mark with him to visit him in prison. And this is what Paul said. He didn't say, don't bring him. This is what he said this time. For he is useful to me in the ministry. Philemon 24, Paul calls Mark his co-worker. And Mark wrote the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. So when you think about John Mark, he was a young man that made a mistake. He quit the Lord. He went back home. Quitter? Nah. But at this particular time, Paul didn't want to take a chance on this young man. But Barnabas said, I want to give him a second chance. And the discussion continued. It turned to be a real argument. And they seemed like the only solution was for these two men to divide their territory and separate. And Barnabas took Mark and he went to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas and he headed for Syria. I wrote here in my notes, who was right? Who was right? Was Paul right? Was Barnabas right? Who was right? You may not like my answer. My answer is this, it doesn't make much difference. Perhaps both men were right in some things and wrong in the other things. But this is the point I'm trying to make out of all of this. Please listen to me. Don't give up on someone just because they failed. Don't give up on someone just because they failed once. I am sure that when John Mark's mother was excited when he went off to the mission field, I can just see her at prayer study. Oh, just a reminder, you know, John's on the mission field. He's with Paul and Barnabas. He's out there leading people to Christ. Here, I got his prayer card, you know, make sure you read it. And then she hears that knock on the doors. And she opens the door, there's her son. He's come home. What am I going to say at the prayer meeting now? You know, but I think she was a loving, godly mother. Disappointed, I'm sure. But I personally don't think that she gave up on her son. I think she continued to pray for him, and I think she continued to seek to help him to find God's will for his life. And this is what I'm simply saying, folks. Don't give up on our young people. Please, don't give up on them. Don't give up on anyone. I don't care how old they are. It does not matter. People make mistakes. People fall away from maybe what God wants them to do. And I want to encourage you through this is don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. We know that John Mark ultimately did succeed in the ministry and that we know that Paul came to love him and to appreciate John Mark. Good and godly people in the church do disagree, folks. It's just one of the painful facts of life that we must accept. But I just want to encourage you through this story this way. Don't give up on anyone. Dr. Wiersbe said, Paul looked at people and asked, I like what he said here. He said, Paul looked at people and asked, what can they do for God's work? But Barnabas looked at people and asked, what can God's work do for them? Think about those two questions. When you're looking at a young person or somebody, what can they do for God's work? But also, what can God's work do for them? And both of those questions are important in the Lord's work. And sometimes it's difficult to keep things balanced, but how true it is. Even though these two friends had a sharp disagreement, God worked in their lives to expand the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas both, to them, had a legitimate reason for either including or excluding John Mark to the work. Both were faithful to their call, and as a result, God doubled the size of his mission force. I read this the other day. It said this: God changes his workmen, but his work goes on. Now, there were two missionary teams instead of one. If God has to depend on perfect people to accomplish his work, he will never, ever get anything done. Our limitations and our imperfections are good reasons for us to depend on the grace of God, for our sufficiency is him and him alone. Folks, nobody's perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. And we have a choice. We can either look at that past mistake, or we can encourage that person to get back where God wants them to be. The choice is ours to make. It is great to know that Paul later on gives a forgiveness and his attitude and his to Mark at that time, and Mark becomes part of his team, and it's a great thing to see that take place. And so Barnabas, he takes John Mark, and they go their way, and Paul puts together a new team. And he chooses Silas there, the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us in chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, that Silas was a leader in the church. He was a prophet. He was one of the representatives that went from the Jerusalem council to the church in Antioch to explain the decision that the council had made concerning the conversion of the Gentiles. The Bible tells us he was a chief man in the church and a prophet. Very respected man in the church. Another important thing here is that Silas was a Roman citizen. Now that would be important later on in Paul's ministry, because remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. And so because he had a partner that was a Roman citizen, it would increase his privileges as he went from town to town. I want you to see this, folks, that God was still at work. Paul and Silas traveled through Syria and Cilicia. The Bible says here that they were strengthening the churches there in verse 41. It's believed that Paul had been instrumental in establishing these churches. We don't know if Paul actually delivered the letter from the church council or not. We really don't know. But what I want to focus on here is Paul and Silas, you know, they come to the area, and they come to Lystra, and that's where Paul meets young Timothy. And he wants to enlist Timothy as his special assistant. Now, he recently meets a young man who was a godly young man, surrendered to the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us there in verses 1 and verse number 2 there in chapter 16. Now, we know from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that Timothy's mother and grandmother were both women of great faith. They prepared him to receive the gospel. They were instrumental in discipling young Timothy. It's believed that Timothy was among some of Paul's earliest converts in Lystra. In other words, when Paul came to the first missionary journey and he went to Lystra, it is believed that he was there that he led young Timothy to the Lord. Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. And that was a common expression that somebody would use if you were responsible for helping them come to know Christ. By the time he returns, Paul returns to Lystra. Timothy had clearly grown in his faith. He had a good report from the churches. And so Timothy was ordained by Paul and added to his team. Like John Mark, Timothy was used in a great way by the Lord in the work of his kingdom. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it was Paul who sent Timothy to deliver it. Paul says he is his beloved child in the Lord. Paul had great confidence in Timothy. He would send Timothy to various different churches to encourage them. Two of the pastoral letters are written to young Timothy. We know that Timothy would eventually become the pastor of the church at Ephesus and probably join Paul in Rome shortly before he was martyred. What I see here now is the Apostle Paul investing in the life of a young man. I think there's some very valuable lessons for us in this short passage of Scripture. First of all, it's this, that God uses faithful individuals as they are serving him to do even greater things in the kingdom. Think about Silas. He was working in the church, and now because he was faithful in doing what God had called him to do, God is using Silas now in a greater way to serve the Lord. And so when we're faithful individuals doing what God has called us to do, God will use us in even a greater way. God may be calling you today to step out in some new area of ministry. I don't know if James, how long James here had a burden on his heart to go to missions. I really don't know. But God called him out of his ministry at Oakletown Baptist Church to go to the mission field. You see, when you're serving with the Lord and you're faithful to him, God might call you to another area of ministry, but there's something else I want you to see. I want you to see the importance of godly parents. Timothy's father was a Greek, we know, not likely a believer, but his mother and his grandmother saw the importance of sharing and discipling the word. Folks, the home is so important for spiritual growth of young people. I still believe that young John Mark, when he went back home, I'm sure his mother was probably a little disappointed, but I'm sure that she loved him, prayed for him, and cared for him, and encouraged him to go back out to the field. It was Timothy's mother and grandmother who never stopped encouraging him and helping him to grow in his relationship with the Lord. What an awesome responsibility that we have as parents and grandparents to make a positive investment in the life of our children and grandchildren, encouraging them to grow in the Lord and to answer God's call. Third thing I see here, like Paul, we need to invest in the lives of young people, folks. Paul had Silas, who was already a seasoned man in the work of the Lord, but he saw the importance of investing in the life of a young man, teen Timothy, and Barnabas saw the importance of investing in the life of young John Mark. Folks, we need to be investing in the lives of others. I thank God every day that Pastor David and Joy are here with us because their hearts are for our young people. And they see the importance of investing in the lives of our young people. Folks, that's the next generation of the church. And I would encourage you today to be praying and to seek out somebody that you might be able to invest in your life. Maybe it is your son, daughter, grandchild, whatever it might be. It could just be somebody within the church, folks. It's so important that we see the importance of investing in the lives of others. That's what I see out here. Oh, yes, there's a great argument and the mission team split and all of that. Yes, that's all there. But there's a positive message here. I see two men who made a decision to invest in the life of a young man. One of them ended up writing the Gospel of Mark. The other one ended up being the pastor of the church at Ephesus and everything in between, because two men decided to invest in the life of two other individuals. I wonder whose life we could invest in today. In verse 4 and 5 of chapter 16, I'll wind her down here. Paul and his new mission team traveled throughout the towns, delivering the good news of the gospel, strengthening the existing churches, evangelizing new unbelievers. We are told that they delivered the decision that was made by the Jerusalem Council, encouraging the Gentiles to the open way for getting saved. And verse 5, it tells us, let me read that. It says, the churches were strengthened in their faith and increased in number daily. There was a division, there was a conflict, there was a problem, but God was still in control. And the Bible tells us that the church continued to grow daily as people were getting saved. God took a bad situation and turned it around. You know, Paul would later write Romans chapter 8, 28, that God causes all things to work to good for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Paul hadn't wrote that yet, but he would come to realize that. That's why I believe he forgave John Mark, and he becomes part of the team. God would continue to use these men in a great and mighty way to start new churches and evangelize the lost. And I believe to my heart today that God is still putting together teams. He's still putting teams together today to carry out the work of the ministry. Disagreement, never good. Never good in the church, folks. Division, never good in the church. It must be avoided. But God, the Holy Spirit, chose today to record these words for us to teach us an important lesson, and in fact, many important lessons, that we should not focus on the past of someone else, but we should look and see what God might be able to do with that person in the future. It teaches a lesson, as we know through the rest of the New Testament, that bitterness needs to be turned to forgiveness, as you see in the life of the Apostle Paul in John Mark. And that as a member of the church, I would encourage you, don't give up on our children. Pray and encourage them. Help them to seek to submit to the will of the Lord. You yourself, be open. Be open to the leading of the Lord, like Silas was. He was open to the leading of the Lord. And so when God redirected his path, he was ready to go. And moms and dads and grandparents, teach your children the word of God. Encourage them to follow the will of the Lord. Every one of us need today to invest in the life of another person. Just like Paul invested in Timothy and Barnabas invested in the life of John Mark, we need to invest in the lives of someone else. And I believe when we do that, that we can watch and we'll see this happen. We'll see the church at First Baptist Church strengthened in our faith. And we will see that God will add to our numbers daily if we would just invest in the life of somebody else. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day and the opportunity to share your word today. I almost didn't preach from this passage of scripture because I hate looking at negative things, but Father, there's such a positive message here. I thank you for speaking to my heart. I thank you for showing me the importance that I need to make sure that I'm investing in the lives of others to help them grow. Help me to keep my eyes off the past and look into the future is what you might be able to do with someone. And I pray that would be the desire of everybody that's here today. Our prayer would be this morning, Father, if there's somebody here that's never made that first step to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, may today be that day. If they're watching us on Facebook, why not today? Why not today? Trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe someone is looking for a church home, or maybe somebody just needs prayer. I don't know what God really wants me to do. Father, may we be able to help that person and pray with them and help them to go where they need to go. We live in a society today, Father, that is so negative, so immoral and all of that. But yet, Father, there's young people out there today that need Jesus. Help us, Father, to invest in their lives. Help us to support David and Joy as they seek to do your will in reaching out to the young people. Help us to be there to help them where they need it. Help us to look at others around us and touch our hearts today and help us to know how we might just help somebody that's sitting alongside of us, how we can encourage them today so that the church here at First Baptist will be strengthened and you will be glorified as people grow in their relationship to you. We'd ask this all now in the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand.